Excellent. Thank you, Pat. And once more, welcome to the great state of New Hampshire. My name is Matthew Malo. I'm the Energy Advisor at the New Hampshire Office of Strategic Initiatives. I did have a wind pun, but the governor already used it, so I won't use one. But I will breeze through these slides here this morning.
Nice.
Let's see. So as far as the topics for today, I'll give a brief introduction for those from out of state who aren't familiar what OSI does. We'll talk a little bit and set the table about offshore wind observations that we've seen here at the state level, some of that data. We'll also talk about some of the state-led efforts that are already underway here in New Hampshire. Again, we want this to be an engaging process with stakeholders, both in and out of the task force process. And finally, we'll talk a little bit about state energy goals, and specifically what we hope to get out of this task force. So kicking it off, about OSI. OSI provides information, data, and guidance to decision makers across the state. Our three main functions are essentially planning, data, and energy. And our goal is to guide the state's future growth through public policy development, education, research, and partnership building. And if those sound very familiar to what you've heard so far this morning, we're very excited to be the lead agency on this project, specifically run out of the Energy Division, which is where I work. OSI, we do several energy programs here in the state, a lot of federal programming such as weatherization and fuel assistance, and also now offshore wind. We do, in fact, serve as the governor's energy policy office, and we are an administratively attached agency to the office of the governor. But that's enough about OSI itself. Let's talk about offshore wind. It's why we're all here today, of course. And one map I wanted to show here at the beginning is that the Gulf of Maine really does have some of the strongest wind resources anywhere in the world. We see it as a prime candidate for some of this development. There, of course, will be challenges, and that's part of all of our jobs here over the next several years. But if you look at that red and blue color in the Gulf of Maine, really strong winds, much stronger than what you see as you go further south down the Atlantic. So again, if offshore wind can work anywhere, we're very confident that it can work here in the Gulf of Maine. As far as what the Gulf of Maine is, you see that cross-stitch area. You've seen this map a few times this morning, but just to reinforce the area we are and are not looking at, it's between 3 and 200 miles from shore. There's a lot of considerations that go on in those waters. We're very excited for the potential to introduce offshore wind in the Gulf of Maine. I mentioned some of those challenges, of course. The Gulf of Maine has quite some interesting bathymetry. It's considerably deeper than other parts of the outer continental shelf. That might be a challenge requiring floating turbines, which is a technology that is pursuing and advancing rapidly, but still not quite at commercial scale. We hope as we go through this process over the next 5, 10, 15 years, that technology will mature, become cost-effective, and can provide great benefits to our state. Another consideration, of course, is what does the electricity grid actually look like? This chart here is from ISO New England, our grid operator, and it shows the different capacity zones for the upcoming forward capacity auction, which is designed to procure power 3 years in advance. You can see that New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine are all called export constrained, meaning that there's not sufficient transmission to get power to the load centers, places like Boston and Hartford. You notice that Maine is a nested export constraint, so there are some substantial challenges in Maine, which we think is an opportunity for New Hampshire to bring some of this power onshore from all throughout the Gulf of Maine. But essentially, these will be price signals that affect developer decisions and something that we want to be cognizant of up front. Of course, the power grid is a very dynamic system. A lot can change, but these are some of the considerations we're working with today. Additionally, offshore wind is being studied by ISO New England. NESCO, which is the New England State's Committee on Electricity, representatives of governors across New England have requested ISO study specific penetrations, anything from 1,000 megawatts by 2030 up to, say, 7,000 megawatts by 2035. ISO expects to release these results in quarter 2 of next year. We're very excited to see this data come forward. It'll tell us a lot about the capabilities of the grid and where some of the most promising areas are. Additionally, as far as the wholesale market is concerned, we have seen it somewhat vulnerable to winter price spikes. Our grid is about half natural gas. So in the winter, when natural gas is primarily used for heating fuels, there's less for the power generation industry to use, which can create some of these spikes. And the general point here is that fuel diversity is something that can be good for New Hampshire. Offshore wind can help diversify our power supply needs. As far as what New Hampshire has already been doing on offshore wind, you've seen this timeline once before, but Governor Sununu in January of this year issued that letter to BOEM. We heard back in April that it'll be a regional process. We're very excited to have our colleagues from Maine and Massachusetts here today, have a great working relationship. We're confident that these three states will be a strong backbone for this task force. And just last week, on December 3rd, Governor Sununu issued an offshore wind executive order, Executive Order 2019-06. And what that offshore wind executive order did, it established four advisory boards, which are going to be critical at every step of this process to make sure that stakeholders in New Hampshire specifically have their voices heard, are informing the actual task force members from New Hampshire of their needs, their priorities, their concerns. And we want this to be something that is continually collaborative so that our task force members, when they come to these meetings, they know exactly what's on the mind of the public. The four main categories are environmental impacts, our port infrastructure, existing offshore industries like commercial fishing especially, and also the transmissioning and siting processes that the state might need to look at and go through. Additionally, it requested two studies of OSI, the Department of Environmental Services, and the Department of Business and Economic Affairs, looking at the potential reductions in greenhouse gas emissions, and also opportunities to attract the supply chain for offshore wind. We want to continue to grow jobs, not just from power generation, but also the component manufacturing. And we have some great businesses already set up here in state and plenty of opportunity to attract more. As far as the New Hampshire members of the task force, we have a litany of state agencies here today at the commissioner level, everything from DES to the Public Utilities Commission, Business and Economic Affairs, the Department of Safety, Natural and Cultural Resources, OSI, New Hampshire Fish and Game. These agencies will all have considerable staff time available to help work with the task force and make sure, again, New Hampshire's interests are first and foremost. We also have elected officials in the room today from seacoast towns, including Seabrook, Hampton, Northampton, Rye, Newcastle, Portsmouth, and Newington as well. And also representatives from the relevant committees and the State House, the State House and the State Senate as subject matter experts as well. With an eye towards state energy goals, there's been a lot of excitement about offshore wind. And New Hampshire has put considerable thought into where we are and where the best path forward is. And all of that really comes back to a document that OSI released in 2017. We have another update coming next year as well, which will feature offshore wind in a very robust way. But we have several principles that were outlined in that state energy strategy. The prioritization of cost-effective energy policies. Of course, we all want a secure, reliable, and resilient energy system. We want to achieve economic protection that is cost-effective and enables economic growth. And let's just say offshore wind can check all of those boxes in a profound way. We want the market to encourage the selection of these resources, and ISO New England has phenomenal market mechanisms to do just that, and some of these other goals that you see here. But the big emphasis is on all of the above. We don't want to pick and choose winners in the energy market as a state. And when the government does intervene in energy markets, we believe it should be limited, justified, and technology neutral most of all. New Hampshire does have a renewable portfolio standard of a little over 25% of total retail electric sales by the year 2025, which we're rapidly approaching. That obligation is split between four classes. Offshore wind would be a class one new renewable under the current setup. We also have a solar carve-out and existing resources from biomass, methane, and small hydroelectric. So again, fuel diversity is something that is good. It helps protect against winter price spikes. And again, offshore wind can have a significant role to play. As far as what OSI and really the whole state of New Hampshire is hoping to get out of this process, we want to break down barriers to offshore wind development. Obviously, this task force will help establish those wind energy areas that'll guide future development through a collaborative process. And going through this vital step is huge to identify those potential opportunities. And as the governor said this morning, New Hampshire is open for business. We really want to find ways to attract the supply chain and this whole new industry that's right here at our doorstep. We want to continue the offshore wind market, allowing it to develop. We know this technology is rapidly advancing. Costs are coming down year after year. And by the time that New Hampshire is looking to site offshore wind through the BOEM process and get to a lease, we don't know what prices are going to look like in 5 or 8 or 10 years. We want the market to guide those decisions, not necessarily the state today, identifying exactly where and when and how. There's a long process ahead, and we want to follow that and respect the process that BOEM has laid out. As far as economic development, even more so than the power, of course, New Hampshire has a short coastline. We don't quite compare to Maine and Massachusetts, but we do know that we have a great business environment, huge opportunities to attract private capital and new investment to our port facilities. We have an opportunity to create new, good-paying New Hampshire-based jobs, and also opportunities for lower-cost electricity generation and a reduction of the environmental impact, which obviously can help improve the economic lifestyle and tourism here in New Hampshire as well. A special word to the existing offshore industries in the world, in the room rather, that operate in the Gulf of Maine. We know that the ocean, while open, doesn't mean it's vacant. We know that people fish, boats traverse day in and day out. There's a special consideration for endangered species. We want to incorporate all of this data into our decision-making process, and deservedly so. The Northeast Ocean Data Portal is a great resource that has layers upon layers of maps that lay out exactly what's happening. And while there are still some things we don't know and more data that will need to be gathered, we want to make sure we're smart about the resources that are available to us and that we maximize their use. And of course, stakeholder engagement, which is why we're here today, which is why the governor issued his executive order last week creating those advisory boards. We want to hear from the public, we want to hear from NGOs and developers, and make those concerns known up front. We want to learn from the mistakes that states who have gone before us have made and make sure that this is a process that is done right from day one and can get to the conclusion that is beneficial for everyone in the room as soon as possible. And of course, stakeholders will have opportunities to be heard today and also at those advisory board meetings for the state of New Hampshire as well. And that really is, again, I can't stress this enough, a key part of this process from New Hampshire's point of view. And to wrap it up, just some key takeaways that New Hampshire is preparing for offshore wind. We're working with our regional partners, Maine and Massachusetts, and this will be a long process of stakeholder engagement. We have the best team in state government in the room today and committed throughout. And we know that while we are still some years away, there's great opportunity ahead, and if it's something we get right, it can be a whole new industry for the state of New Hampshire. And with that, I'll take questions.
Great. Thank you, Matt. Great. Thank you.